power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. I want to invite you to take out of your worship program this morning a folded sheet of paper that is an outline of what I'm going to talk about this morning. Up on the front of it, it has a funny-looking picture, but if you turn open on the inside, you'll see there that there's an outline. There's some fill-in-the-blanks there, so if you have a pen or a pencil with you and you want to fill in blanks, you're welcome to go ahead and fill in those blanks. And you can use that later on to continue to talk about what I've talked about in this message and take it home and process it. So this morning, I hope that you all had a great Halloween. Did you? Okay, good. Well, today is All Saints Day, actually, which is the day after Halloween, which is the day in the church where the church celebrates those people in our lives, both those who are living and both those who are dead, who have had a profound influence on us, who have had such integrity and such power in our lives that they have helped us to become who God intended us to be. And so also in your worship program this morning is another insert that tells you a little bit about All Saints Day. And so, you know, when your mind begins to wander a little bit in the midst of the message, you can read that and you have something else to divert your focus. But actually, to get some more information about All Saints Day, you can look at that insert and really get a good understanding of what All Saints Day is about. Well, it seems appropriate that as we work through the middle of this series of messages having to do with supernatural things, that on All Saints Day, that we would talk about the saints, but we would also talk about angels. Now, up to this point in this series, we've tackled something called spiritual warfare, and we looked at what spiritual warfare was all about. And then last weekend, we looked at the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit was, and what the Holy Spirit does. And today, we're going to be tackling this issue of angels and saints. Now, part of the whole premise of this series is that there is more out there that we can't see. That there's a spiritual side to our lives. That there's a spiritual side to this world. And so today I want to talk about part of that spiritual side. Part of that spiritual side are the angels. And actually, part of that spiritual side are those saints that have gone on before us. And some of those saints that are still living. I want to spend the majority of my time talking about the angels, but we're going to touch upon the saints because they're actually two different people. They're actually two different beings. But let's start with the angels. The angels are really popular right now. Have you noticed that? The angels have been popular actually for a pretty long time now. You can't go to the store and not find all kinds of angel trinkets. There's angel this and angel that you can buy at the store. And there's all kinds of angel artwork out there. Angels are a popular thing for artists to paint. Angels are also popular that people have them, you know, hanging from their rearview mirror. And the way that some of us drive, we need those angels on our rearview mirror, right? And then angels have become so popular that even Hollywood and television have got into it, haven't they? Who remembers that show, Touched by an Angel, on television? Right? Touched by an Angel. And then, you know, you might have seen the movie Angels in the Outfield. Or then there was that one with John Travolta called Michael. And then my favorite movie that has an angel in it is the one that they show ad nauseum every Christmas. You know, It's a Wonderful Life. Does anybody remember the guardian angel's name in It's a Wonderful Life? Clarence. Very good. You got to come through communion twice today. Clarence, right? Clarence was the guardian angel. And Clarence taught us that every time a bell rings, right, an angel is getting their wings. Now, just as there's many portrayals of angels in the movies and in television, and there's just a lot of products about angels, so there's many different beliefs that are out there when it comes to angels. For example, a lot of people believe that, you know, when their loved one dies, like their grandmother or their grandfather or, you know, an uncle or their mom or dad, they believe that when those people die that their loved ones become angels. And I know that's very comforting to folks, but it just doesn't have that much biblical support that when our loved ones die, they become angels. Now, make no mistake about it. When our loved ones die, we believe that they go to be with Christ. But they don't become angels. And then there's also kind of this thought out there that each one of us has guardian angels, that each one of us has a clearance, if you will, that kind of watches over us. But again, we don't find that much evidence for specific guardian angels over each one of us in the Bible. And if you stop and think about it, you know, that's kind of good that we don't have guardian angels per se, because we want the hundreds and thousands of angels watching over us, just not one, right? So there's all this stuff out there swirling around about angels. So what we want to do today is kind of drill down and see what the Bible has to say about who angels are and what angels do, and we're going to talk about the saints too. So let me share with you some characteristics of the angels. And if you're taking notes this morning on that message download insert, here's the first fill in the blank. The first characteristic about angels is that angels are worshipers. Angels are worshipers. Time and time again, we see throughout the scripture that angels are worshiping God. That last book of the Bible called Revelation, that verse that I just read from, John saw, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" The throne that John talks about was the throne of God. The Lamb that's described in the kind of those cryptic verses is Jesus. Jesus is often called the Lamb. And then there's these hundreds of thousands of angels that John sees. And what are they doing? But they're shouting praise. They are worshiping God the Father and Jesus the Son. You see, angels are worshipers. And it's important to understand that angels are worshipers, because like us as human beings, angels were created. They were created. And because they were created, that means that angels aren't these little gods and goddesses flying around all kinds of places that we're to worship or to pray to. But instead, angels were created like us to worship our Creator. Second characteristic of angels, if you're taking notes, is that they are warriors. Angels are warriors. Now, you're probably saying, now, wait a second. That's not how I understood angels. When we see pictures of angels, right, they're all, you know, dressed in white. They have smiling faces. They have soft, fluffy wings. They have this kind of peaceful demeanor to them. But angels, while they're certainly guides to us, while they certainly help us, while they certainly have a nicer side, no doubt, angels are also warriors. They're not just little babies, you know, with wings, playing a harp, but they're also warriors. Now, these angels can be fierce warriors, battling on behalf of God, battling on behalf of good, battling for us. Again, from that last book of the Bible, we hear this: "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back." The dragon is referring to the devil there. There was this war in heaven. Part of what angels are is that they're not only worshipers, but they're also warriors. They're also warriors. So who are these angels? They're worshipers, they're warriors. They're also, third, they're messengers. These angels are messengers. A lot of times in the Bible when we see angels, they're acting as God's messengers. You know, they deliver news or convey great truths to God's people. Now, a minute ago I spoke about or read about Michael. Michael is only one of two angels who are good that are named in the Bible. There's only two angels that are good that are named in the Bible. One was Michael. The second one was named Gabriel. Michael was known as the warrior angel. Gabriel, the second named angel in the Bible, is known as the messenger angel. And so we will see Gabriel often appearing to give a message to somebody. Now, there's other angels that also deliver messages, but Gabriel is known as the messenger angel. He's known as the messenger angel. So, for example, God dispatched Gabriel to a young woman some 2,000 years ago to tell her that she had the privilege of carrying the Christ child. Gabriel said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the writer Luke tells us, but the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." You see, Gabriel was giving a message. He was a messenger. So who are angels? Well, angels are messengers, angels are warriors, and angels are, I forgot, what was the first one? Worshippers, thank you. I was just testing you. So angels are worshipers. So that's a little bit about who angels are, but what do angels do? What do they do? One of the things that angels do is that they give direction. They give direction. Angels kind of serve as a spiritual GPS, if you will. They can guide people. They can point people in the direction that God would have them to go. Now, it's not true that angels are the only way that we find direction, but angels are a possible way that we could find direction in our lives. Angels give you and I direction. One such case happened to Mary's husband, Joseph. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, her husband, Joseph, that's a real good story, isn't it? Joseph is engaged to this girl. She comes to him one day and says, "By the way, Joseph, I'm pregnant." And Joseph knew that he hadn't slept with her. And so he could have had her stoned to death. But instead, the Bible says he dismisses her quietly. He has mercy on her. He's loving towards her. And he says, "Let's just break off the engagement." He doesn't make a big deal about it. But then the Bible tells us an angel came and changed Joseph's direction, so that Joseph wasn't dismissing and breaking off the engagement anymore, but Joseph was actually going to marry this Mary. From Matthew's story of Jesus' life, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Now, I'm sure Mary probably had tried that line with Joseph. "You know, what's conceived in me is from the Holy Spirit. You know, I haven't been seeing any other men." But it took a visit from an angel, some spiritual GPS, to change Joseph's direction. And Joseph, having heard from the angel, then took Mary as his wife. Second, angels also protect you from danger. Angels protect us from danger. The Bible says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Part of what angels do is they protect God's people. The book of Acts, which is in the last third of our Bible, which is the story of the first followers of Jesus, and it's the story of the beginning of the Christian church, tells about a guy named Peter, who was an early leader in the church, who was thrown in prison. He was thrown in prison because he was talking about Jesus all the time. Guess what? An angel protects him. Listen to this. "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell that Peter was in. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. The angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals,' and Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt the Lord sent an angel and rescued me from Herod, the king's clutches.'" Angels protect people from danger. Angels also minister to you and I. They minister to people. The writer of the book of Hebrews in the back of the Bible asks, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Jesus himself had angels minister to him on at least two distinct occasions. There was one time, right before Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was around 30 years old, that he went out into the desert and he fasted and he prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was really weak, and the devil came to him and began to tempt him. And Jesus resisted the devil. And then we're told that after Jesus resisted the devil during that time of temptation, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And then about 3 years later, near the end of his life, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to be betrayed by that guy named Judas. And he's out in this garden, and he's praying to God about it, and he's having a really hard time about it. His human side is really struggling with it. I have to die. Isn't there any other way, God? He asks. He prays all of that, and he's in such agony about it all that he sweats, and he just doesn't normally sweat, but he sweats blood. He's in such agony about it. But then we're told an angel came and ministered to Jesus as Jesus was about to go to the cross. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, the Bible says. And that allowed Jesus to say, in the midst of all that, that was coming to face him, "Not my will, Father, but yours," because the angel ministered to him. You see, we get strength from angels, and that leads us to touch on the saints, whose memory, whose current love and encouragement also strengthens us. The saints are different than the angels. The saints are those people in our lives, both those living and those dead, who have gone on to be with Jesus, who have such profound impact in our lives. They're people that we've known well. They're people that we haven't known well, but still had an impact on our lives. But as saints, they are human beings. They are not angels. In the broad sense of the word, and according to the Bible, a saint is anybody who has been baptized and believes the promises of the gospel. Thus we hear the Apostle Paul in his letters often writing to the saints in a certain city. And what he meant by that was all the believers who lived in a certain city. Now we have much to owe these saints. We have much to thank God about for these people in our lives who have been spiritual mentors, who have been persons of integrity, who have played such a huge part in us becoming who we are. So it's appropriate today on All Saints Day to give thanks to God for them and to recognize them. A little bit later on in our worship time together, as we receive the bread and the cup of communion, after you pass through the communion line, I want to invite you to stop at the saint board. So creatively thought up by me, the name at least. And a couple of weeks ago, I invited you, and you might have remembered, you might not have, to bring in a picture of somebody who's been a saint in your life, either a person that's living or a person that's dead. There's some thumbtacks right in that little bowl there where you can post that person's picture up there. But also, if you didn't bring a picture and you want to thank God for somebody living or dead that's been like a saint in your life, there's some markers up there. You can just write right on that foam board their names. So we're going to do that as part of giving God thanks for those who have been saints in our lives. So today, whether we talk about saints who've had such a profound impact in our life and are no longer here, or whether we talk about saints that are currently pouring into our lives, or whether we talk about angels who protect, who strengthen, and minister to us, let us always remember to give thanks to God for the gift of angels unseen and those who are like saints to us today. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love that's made known to us in angels and in saints. We thank you, Lord, for those beings that are alive and in operation, but we don't see. We thank you for those angels that minister to us, that strengthen us, that empower us, that protect us, that guide us. We thank you so much, O God, for the saints, both living and dead, who have poured into our lives so that we could draw closer to you. For it's been in them that we have saw glimpses of you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be like a saint to somebody else, to pour into somebody's life, so that in us, they might see you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit earlier in our worship time together, Melissa invited you to take out the communication card in your worship program. I want to invite you to take that back out, and if you turn that over on the other side, there are some next steps to take in response to our message and the scripture and the songs that we've sung. I want to invite you to go ahead and check one of those next steps if you feel led to take a next step in response to all that we've done this morning. And there's also a place on there for prayer requests. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to put on there, we'll go ahead and include it in our people that we pray for on a regular basis here at the church. If you're a guest with us, we especially want to thank you for being here with us. We have a special gift that we'd like to give you as a way of us saying thanks for being here. It's called the Case for Christ book, and it's located over there at our guest gift center, which is that little table right near the exit of the church. We invite you to stop by and to pick up one of those books, and we would invite you to go ahead and put that communication card in the offering basket when it comes by a little bit later on in the service. Here at New Season Church, we like to describe our worship as ancient future. What that means is that we use the modern means of presenting the age-old gospel story. We use modern means such as screens and images and videos and guitars and drums and all that stuff. But we also cling to the age-old message of God's love. We also cling to some of the symbol and the liturgy of the church, of the tradition. We believe that those still have power today if they are explained. And so we do things here at New Season Church like have weekly communion. We do things here at New Season Church like sing the Gloria Patri from time to time. We do things here at New Season Church such as affirm our faith by saying the Apostles' Creed. That's what we're going to do this morning. And so I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to affirm our faith together by saying the Apostles' Creed, the words of which will be on the screen. As we make our way through the Apostles' Creed, I want to call your attention to one particular set of words. It's actually on the second slide, and we'll go there eventually. And that talks about, we believe in the communion of saints. On this All Saints Day, we believe in that communion of saints, of those people, countless, who have gone on before us and set the course of faith for us so that we could be here today. So let's affirm our faith together by reading the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please.